We are holy, set apart. We love one another. That's what sets us apart. We're committed to one another. That's what sets us apart. We're excited about one another. That's what sets us apart. And we're universal in nature. All of the people on this earth belong to the kingdom of God. Now, they may choose not to go, but it doesn't mean that they don't belong to it. God will never send anybody to hell. He just doesn't. That's our choice. Or He'll never send anybody to heaven. He has left that entirely up to us. Today we can choose whom we'll serve. To serve God. You know how at the end of the liturgy we say, the Mass is over, go and love and serve the Lord. The only way you can serve God is to serve people. You can't serve Him any other way. So we should say, go and love and serve one another. And there's some people doing that. Because that's the way you serve God. So we're holy, we're Catholic, universal in nature, we're set apart by God, and we're apostolic. We use the gifts of the Holy Spirit because in these gifts of the Holy Spirit, it requires faith. Believing that you have something that you haven't, or believing that you're using something that you don't understand, yet you know it's true because the Word says it's true. Does anybody have a problem with what we've covered last night? Or I just really want to emphasize, and I'll try to emphasize this at the beginning of every meeting, is we must begin to look at one another the way God looks at us. We must begin to look through His eyes instead of the carnal, judgmental eyes of the world. We must begin to look at one another through the Spirit of God and see, as we look, what He's done for us. Now, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit this morning. I'm going to teach a teaching this morning that I've never taught before. And I have no idea how it's going to come out. I'm going to jump into it and see what happens, and it may upset somebody. It may upset me. And if I'm out of order, Father will get me when I get through here this morning, and I'll come back tonight and ask everybody to forgive me. But I'm going to get into an area that's the gospel that was read yesterday. The gospel. And we're going to look at something that's extremely painful. And I'm going to look at it under the light that He presented it to us. And something that I've been walking in for 11 years and some decisions that I'm having to make about ministry that it's taken me 11 years to make. So what you're going to get this morning is something that's been brewing in me for 11 years. And so I'm conditioned to it, and you may not be conditioned to it. But I'm convinced that we have to hear it. And I'm convinced that the church, the magisterium is giving it to us. And we must hear it so we can make a decision whether we'll walk in it or we won't walk in it. God will begin to allow us to make decisions for those that are called to be proclaimers of His Word. And I'd like to ask the Holy Spirit now to come and to teach me and to allow me to say the words that would increase your faith, that would open your heart, that would open your ears, that the inner man, this Holy Spirit inside, may be strengthened, encouraged by the Word that God has given us. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, the area that I'm going to approach this morning is the church. Let's all say the church.
The church.
Now, who is the church?
Yeah.
Now, when you say we are, that could exclude some folks, or it may involve some people that don't want to be the church. The only people that can be church, I'm going to keep saying this over and over again, is each one of us individual must make the decision to be the church. That's a singular thing. It is a plural when it makes up the body. But it's like this ear cannot be this ear, or this nose cannot be the eye. But they're both intricate parts of the body. This arm can't do what this arm does. They're both needed. These legs are needed, but they're different. One is right and one's left. And you can tell them apart. I got scars on one that I don't have on the other. Amen.
Amen.
But they're both needed. So as the body, we're all needed, but each one of us is individual parts. Each one of us has an individual role. And what I'm going to try to do this morning is to put you in a position to where you can make a decision to live that role. Now, the difficulty that we'll have is this. We are secure, we're set, our life is most over. We've lived the greater part of our life. It'll be extremely difficult to change. But I'm going to tell you this morning that whether we like it or not, we will change. There is coming a day that we'll all change. Like it or not, we're going to change. Death is inevitable. Our flesh is going to leave our body, and the only thing that's going to amount to anything is the words that we've lived, the life that we've lived for God, not the life that we've lived for the flesh. This flesh is corrupt, it is temporary, and it's on its way out of here. So our decision is to let the flesh be carriers of the good news. That calls for a sacrifice. And that's exactly what we're going to look at this morning, is sacrifice. And it's extremely difficult to put your flesh in a position of sacrifice, because it demands so much. It demands security. It demands safety. It demands longevity. And none of those things are guaranteed to the flesh. Nothing. Nothing. None of that is guaranteed. Jesus said, not even our next breath are we guaranteed. Okay, so with that, knowing that we're talking this morning to the who? Say it again. We're talking this morning to the
church.
Who is the church?
I am.
Okay, let's all say I am.
I am.
Because it's important. If you say me, you can say, well, maybe them, but you know, I'm going to sneak around this thing. And everything we cover this week is going to be geared toward the church. And then we can make a decision whether we're going to be the church or whether we're not going to be the church. Can we say that Jesus is the head of the church? Yes. He's the head. He's the one that's made the decisions for the church. Amen? He's the thinking part of the church. He's the mind of the church. He's the knowledge of the church. He's the wisdom of the church. So, if I am His church, then I've got to take His mind to be effective. I've got to take His ability. I've got to take His will. I've got to take His commitment. I've got to take His dedication if I expect to be an effective part of His body. I've got to do that. Regardless of the sacrifice that it may call on me, my life does no longer belong to me. It belongs to God. God made it according to our creed. All things were made through Him. And I only come complete when I'm allowing myself to work in His life, to work in His Word, in His will, in His commitment. Now, I'm going to start by sharing with you this morning how difficult it is to enter into this. People that say Christianity is easy, I'm going to tell you it's not easy. It's not easy. Jesus said it's not easy. And listen to what he says. Now, for you that come at night, I'm going to approach this in a different way. I'm going to give you all a heart. People that will come in the morning usually are the ones that are really interested. I mean, they're really ready. And so I'm going to throw you all the biggest part of the meat. I won't... I'll throw the meat, but I'll throw it in little teeny pieces where they won't get choked. I'm going to throw some meat today that might choke some of you, but I hope that it doesn't. I want you to listen to this. And listen, the first question that will pop up in your mind when I get into this is, everybody called to do this? See, like we say, we are the church. Right away you want to start looking at somebody else and say, well, they're called to do it. No way, Jose. Only I can operate what I'm going to talk on this morning. And I don't expect anybody else to do it. I'll never be disappointed if you don't get into it. Never. I'll never be disappointed if my kids don't get into it. I'll never be disappointed. I am the only one that can respond to the words that we're going to look at this morning. This scripture was written to me, for me, and it was written by me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. All right? So let's go to scripture. And we're going to go right to our Constitution. Right into where our Pope Paul VI says that this is the constitution of the kingdom of God. And that's where we're all heading. We're pilgrims on our way to a place that we can't see. We don't know where it's at, and by faith we're going to go. And these words that we're going to look at today will produce in us faith so that we can get there. But it'll be a decision on each one of your part to make the decision to go. And I want you to notice that I'm treating you like you've never heard this before. I don't know any other way to do it. Amen. My approach to you this morning is that you've never heard anything. You're brand new. So don't be insulted if you already know it. Amen. Sit back and agree with me. Yeah. All right. Go for it. In Matthew's Gospel, I'm going to start over in Luke. In Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the 16th verse, it says this. Up until the time of John the Baptist, up until that time. And you remember yesterday in the gospel we covered the law, the prophets, 4,000 years of history. We went from Moses all the way to Jesus. I'm going to tell all of you today that Moses was not God, and according to Scripture, he never knew God. That may be a shock to some of you, because God was revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, wasn't He? The Word was made flesh. Well, then Moses never met, just didn't know Him. He had a knowledge of understanding of faith, but to know God, he never knew Him. Because God was revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, and the minute He was revealed, they killed Him. Example. Can you imagine Moses in the book of Exodus yesterday when he was leading the children out of the bondage of sin and the bondage of slavery, out of all that bondage, Moses was leading them out. And can you imagine him meeting Jesus on the way to the Red Sea? And Jesus threw up his hands and said, Moses, you got to love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that mistreat you. Anybody should rob you of property, don't ask for it back. Moses would have made a greasy spot out of him. Run right on over him. And so would the other prophets. And I know that may seem hard, but listen, folks, when he revealed himself, what did they do to him? And that's what we're going to demonstrate this morning, is how difficult it is. I don't want anybody to leave here today thinking that this life is easy. Now, it's wonderful inside. There's a great joy that surrounds it. There's a contentment and a peace that goes with it that surpasses anything else in the world. But it's hard to get a hold of it. And Jesus says through Luke that up until the time of John the Baptist, it was the law and the prophets. The law. You ever notice how we love the law? For somebody else to live, but I'm exempt. You don't live the law, sucker, you'll die. You disobey the law and you're divorced. But it's okay if I break the law. Amen. And we look for laws for everything. We regulate our house, the laws. You kids are going to be in at a certain time. And if you're not here, buffoon, you're restricted for months. Laws. Isn't that the way we do it? That's the way they did in the Old Testament. And folks, for 4,000 years, they had nothing but a mess. Riots, murder, incest, slavery, contempt, rape, murder. They were enslaved. I mean, every horrible thing you can imagine came out of the law. The law was always, has been, justified hatred. That's all it is. It justifies hatred. If you don't do like you're supposed to do, I don't like you no more. And folks, none of us are capable of living the law. We just aren't able to dot every I and cross every T simply because our flesh is corrupt. You're looking at something that's passing away. And it doesn't want to go. It wants to be safe and secure. It wants to live a long life, knowing that there is no security for the flesh. It'll do everything it can to seek longevity. It'll look for the fountain of youth. It'll look for cream to remove the wrinkles. It'll look for doctors to pick it up and heap it up and stack it up so it looks good. It'll look for people to fix it so that it'll look nice. You'll have to wash it to keep it from stinking. Buy foo-foo juice so it'll smell good. Because it's, folks, it's deteriorating. The Bible says our flesh is being destroyed moment by moment. And y'all, I can look at you and say, some of y'all are being destroyed. I mean, all of you are being destroyed. We're terminal, aren't we? But we look nice in this terminal. In this sickness, we try to make it look as good as we can. And that's okay. But God tells us that the law is not going to cut it. It's justified hate. You do me, I do you. I'll meet you halfway, 50-50. Our marriage will be good as long as you do what you're supposed to do. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, I'll get rid of you. Get me another one. That's the law. Most of us, unfortunately, are married by the law. And we've never had a relationship. It's always, how come you ain't doing it right? And folks, nobody on this earth can do according to my will. It's impossible for you to figure out what I want and you do it to where I'd be satisfied. Amen. You've never made nobody happy. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how saintly you are. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you've never made anybody happy. They always look at you and demand a little bit more. And you say, how much do I have to give? I've given enough. I deserve a break today at McDonald's. Isn't that right? I deserve this nervous breakdown. Y'all leave me alone. Let me have it. Isn't it amazing what we've got into? Jesus said, up until the time of John the Baptist, it was the law and the prophets. Since then, listen carefully, since that moment, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been preached. The Word of God has been preached. The kingdom of God has come and revealed itself. The Word of God has been made flesh, and it's here to deliver us from the law. It's here to correct the law. It's here to remove the hatred and the attitude of justification by the law. And it says this, everyone, let's say everyone.
Everyone.
Say me.
Me.
I will get in
the
kingdom of God
by violence.
Oh, y'all stop right there. Oh, wait a minute. What's so violent about this? Because we prefer the law and we look when somebody makes a mistake, we demand justice. We've even got societies today that demand justice. And justice has already been given. Justice is God. He's justice. Amen. His Word is justice. Amen. His Word is eternal. Amen. So then we've got to look to Him for justice. We've got to look for Him for righteousness. We can't look to the law anymore. We've got to look to Him. Because He came to fulfill the law. So justice comes from God. And for you to live His commandment, you'll do violent things to the temporary world that you live in. You'll do violent things to your mind. You'll see people make mistakes and you want to straighten them out, and God will say, keep your mouth shut. You'll see somebody doing something wrong, and God will say, fall on your knees and pray for them. You'll see somebody stealing your property, and God said, don't ask for it back. But I worked hard for this. It belongs to me. God said, nothing don't belong to you. See, that's violent. You'll see your kids making all kind of screwy errors. And folks, they're making the same errors you made. I mean, why should it be such a difficult thing for you to accept? You went through the same stuff they're going through. And you made it through all right. And I'm convinced unless we let them go through that and assist them and help them and pray for them and minister to them and always keep the door open, we'll drive them from the very place that they can be ministered to. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, up until the time of John the Baptist, it was the law and the prophets. Since then, the kingdom of God has been preached, and by violence, everyone gets in. Charlie Osborne is going to get into the kingdom of God by violence. I will do things that are violent to my mind, things that my mind doesn't want to do. My mind loves the law. You do me, I'll do you. To do violence to the mind, when you do me, I forgive you. That's violent. My mind loves jealousy. Better watch it, sucker. I'll get you. Or looking to find something wrong with somebody. I'll catch you. You know how you sneak around? Folks, I used to sneak around to watch my wife. I'd want to catch her in a mistake so I could clobber. Did you ever think of doing things like that? Or maybe your kids, you search their pockets looking for something. I'm going to find something on these kids. Boy, when I catch them, I'll strain them. I'll make believers out of them. They'll never do it again. Isn't that what we do? And we wonder why we've raised a bunch of jackasses. I mean pure, hardcore, hard as goat's horns. I mean, they're the most rebellious things. And they're so out of control, they drink and they race and they live their lives wide open to whatever wants to happen, let it happen. Whatever feels good, do it. Whatever tastes good, drink it. Total rebellion. And we can afford the rebellion. We're rich. So we can afford all the things they're doing. So you will begin to do violent things to your mind when you start walking in Jesus. When he went to the cross, he looked at the world, a dark, perverse world. Who was he looking at? Me. So let's say it again. Who was he looking at?
Me.
And you know what he said? He said, I will let you be the way you want to be. But I'll die for you so that I will give you an opportunity that you can make a decision. You make the decision. To where you can be like me or you can be like the world. Now for our children and for our husbands and our wives, and the reason that we have church is that we have people living the example so we can see how we're supposed to be. That's what the living witness is. That's what the sacrifice is. We live our lives. Father lives his life as an example of how we're supposed to be. The only thing is, we let Father live it and we refuse to live it. I want to tell every one of you in here this morning, we're supposed to live like Padre sitting right there. We're supposed to live the life he's living. Now, God's given him a special grace, a special gift of celibacy. Now, he hadn't given me that. But I'm still to live the same life. A religious, committed, dedicated, living sacrifice life. And I live it by living the words of Jesus Christ. That's all he's doing is living his words. And the bishops are telling us this. They're screaming it at us in a silent voice. They're writing it. They're putting it in all this. I asked my bishop one day. I said, Bishop, why aren't you up speaking this out to where people can hear it? He said, Charlie, God didn't call me to do that. He called you to do it. You go do it. You get the axe. And so I'm here. And you know, people don't like me for doing this. A lot of people don't like me for doing it. But I got to the point, I said, who cares what you like? If we don't like him, we're all finished anyhow. And I didn't come here preaching Charlie Osborne. I've come here preaching Jesus. And I'm going to be honest and frank with every one of you. The life that I've lived for 11 years is not... It has been sometimes extremely painful. But the joy and the peace in it far outweighs the pain and the sorrow. It far outweighs it. Most of us are walking around in just total pain and sorrow. All right. So now we said that up until the time of John the Baptist, it was the law and the prophets. Since then, the kingdom of God has been preached. The kingdom has been preached. We're going to talk this whole week about the kingdom of God. And by violence, everyone gets in. Now listen to this. This is the next one. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for one of the strokes of the to drop off or one of the letters to drop off of the law. In other words, the commandments that have been given to us, they're going to be there. And we will be judged by them because they are the law. Now, if we're living according to the new commandment, the law of love, love is above the law. Have you ever noticed that people that disobey the law, they get punished? That people that are operating in love, which is the suffering servant, the willing to suffer without retaliating, he never gets into trouble. Never. Because it's above the law. Husband and wife that are suffering with one another without retaliating, they never get into trouble. Their kids seem to always be out of trouble. It's those that live by the law that are constantly in trouble because you can't fulfill the law. Now, the law's not going to go anywhere. It's going to stay with us. But if you're operating according to the gospel, you'll fulfill the law because you love one another. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying. You leave right out of here and get on the highway, and there'll be speed signs. 25 miles an hour, 35 miles an hour, 55 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour. They're posted as we drive through this country. Now, those speed signs are there by the law. The law has been given, and those speed signs are placed there for us to obey. Now, how many people do you know that do not obey the law? When it's 25, you'll drive 35. You just absolutely, there's something in you says that you can snitch a little bit and get a little faster and get there a little quicker than what the law says. All right? Now, for those that break the law, that don't understand God or His love, they're constantly looking in the rearview mirror to see if they're fixing to get caught. That causes anxiety. It causes fear. It causes nervousness, especially if you get caught. And then the minute you get caught, you say, "What are you stopping me for? I weren't doing nothing wrong. Everybody drives by here 10 miles an hour fast. What do you want to catch me for? Why don't you stop everybody?" You always try to justify your rebellion. Now, if we are livers of the new law, this is the way we operate. The speed limit says 25. And because we know that every living human being is a special, unique creation of God, the law has been posted to protect one another. And we obey it not because we're afraid to break the law, but because we love one another. I drive 25 because the last thing in the world I'd ever want to do is to hurt you. Or to hurt you. I wouldn't want to do anything that would cause you any kind of harm. Nothing. I would never drink and get behind the wheel of a car simply because I may hurt you. This is where love comes in. The law will never be established as righteous or holy. It's the love that establishes holiness. It's when we love one another. And folks, this is the whole of the gospel. The 25 mile an hour speed limit, you won't go to heaven by obeying the 25 mile an hour speed limit. You can drive 25 and drive it because of fear. If I drive 35, I'll get caught and have to pay a fine. But we don't drive it because of fear. We drive it because we love one another. Last thing we'd want to do. Folks, we've got 2 million laws on our books to invoke love for one another. And you'll never be able to legislate love. It's an act of the heart. It's an act of the Holy Spirit that comes from God. And each person must make a decision to enter into that love. I love my wife, and brothers and sisters, I don't care what she does. It's okay. My children, no matter what mistakes they make, I choose to forgive them. The law will say, put them away. Treat them a lesson. Jesus said, have mercy on them. Have mercy on me. He said, okay, Charlie, I've had mercy on you. Now you have mercy on your wife. You have mercy on your children. You have mercy on your neighbor. You have mercy on everyone. And if you have mercy and you have love, you'll obey the law. You won't rob your neighbor. You won't seek to hurt. You won't look to be an adulterer. You won't look to steal. You'll be looking to give. What it does, it moves you from a spirit of selfishness into a spirit of love, a spirit of generosity. I choose to forgive you. And folks, I can tell every one of you here this morning that you're all sinners. Every single one of you, you do something wrong over and over and over again. So none of you are justified to heaven by what you do. You're justified to heaven by faith in Him, His mercy. Amen. Isn't this good news for the world? I don't have to judge my children anymore. I can set an example of God for them, knowing that if I will set that example and be patient and be kind and long-suffer, not be offended, that if I will set the example that God has set for me, with my children, with my neighbor, with my wife, with my husband, with whomever, they will be able to grow in the power of God's Holy Spirit. So I obey the law because I love you. And you'll never be able to obey the law until you have love for people. And that's what we've missed. All nations have missed it because we try to legislate love and you can't. You try to make people love one another and you can't. It's an act of your will. I choose love. Now let me tell you, in the part that I was going to get into, let me share with you the depth that I believe this love must go. You've heard the beginning stages of it. You got to practice it first with your husband. How many of you have heard this idea of practicing your faith? I'm going to go practice my faith. We're practicing Catholics. Y'all ever heard that? We all have. And we thought practicing our faith was come to the liturgy on Sunday and just give God 45 minutes and that it. That's not it, folks. That's the law. Living the law will never get you to heaven. It's the law. We come to Mass because we love one another. We want to gather as a community. We want to see one another. That's the reason we come to the liturgy. It's not because it's a law. If you don't go, you're going to hell. You all already know what we're into, don't you? We're living a law. Holy days of obligation. You know God's not going to make anybody come to heaven. He's not. He'll let you choose. Every day is a holy day. There's no such thing as special days. Every day is Easter. Every day is the resurrection. Every day is the day that the Lord has made. Every day we choose to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a life of love, compassion, mercy. And the love that I'm speaking of is the agape, the Greek word agape, which translates back into English the willingness to suffer without retaliating. That's the law that fulfills the law. You're not doing it right, I will suffer without retaliating. That will be very painful to you, and it'll be very traumatic for you, and it'll be very violent to the way we've been taught. Totally 180 degrees out from what we've been instructed. I choose to love you simply because I choose to suffer with you without retaliating, knowing that I can never do anything to please anybody. I already know that. Because our flesh has an insatiable appetite and you can't do anything to please it. It's a big empty hole and I don't care what we put into it. It isn't enough. And we see some of our great evangelists today, they're falling because they cannot fill up this emptiness inside. And they're not willing to suffer without retaliating. They're beating the smoke out of one another, judging and condemning and killing one another. Jesus didn't do that. He said, remember what he told the prostitute? Old Skaggy Maggot. That's the way we'd look at her. We wouldn't have nothing to do with her. But Jesus loved her. He said, boy, you're great. You are a terrific kid. Where's all of those that are accusing you? I mean, you've done a lot of things wrong. And I'm convinced, folks, the only reason that these people were accusing her because they were probably involved with her. And if you look at the scriptures, it said when they drug her out, they all gazed at her. She was probably naked. That would turn your eyes well. I mean, it gets your attention. You know, they caught her in the act of prostitution. How do you think they caught her? No. They went in and laid down $5 and caught her as I was involved with her. You know what I mean? One of the priests went in and caught her as he was in the act with her. And then they drug her out. Guilty. Now justice would say, the law of Moses would say that she was to be stoned. You got to get rid of the sin. A bad apple will spoil the whole barrel. You got to teach her a lesson. If you don't do something, the whole city will get corrupt. You can't leave a prostitute running around. If you do, the whole world will get sour. You got to do something. Stop it. And Jesus said, okay, all of you wonderful, precious children of the Most High, the one of you that's perfect can throw a rock. If you haven't sinned today, sister, you can pick on old brother Jimmy down there. You can throw rocks at him, beat him up. And you know everybody turned around and walked off. One without sin can throw the first rock. Now, folks, let me take this a little further and demonstrate it to you from this angle. Jesus was the only one there that could have killed her because he was perfect. He was the only one without sin. He could have picked up a rock and have been justified in snapping out the sin. But he said, no, hallelujah, I don't judge you either. And sister, I'm going to take your sin and I'm going to run it to the cross and I'm going to pay a price for your sin. Now you forgive her as she sins against you. Don't you judge her no more. Don't you judge your husband anymore. Don't you judge your children anymore. Forgive them. And he said, in that you will build your house on the rock and nothing can destroy your marriage. Nothing. Nothing can destroy your relationship in your community. And folks, I'm going to tell you, when you begin to operate like that, you can't wait to get to the liturgy. You can't wait to receive the body and the blood. You can't wait to be a proclaimer of this good news. It'll burn in your bones. Amen. You just, folks, it's the most thrilling thing you can get into is to look at people and say, dear God, look what a marvelous thing you've done. And you've justified us all. You've justified everyone. Everyone. And I must begin to look at everyone as if they're justified. I must begin to look at everyone by faith. I can no longer take and look at them by the law. I've got to look at them in love. And when you begin to do that, folks, you'll go through it. I got two people sitting here this morning, Irene and Lenny Burrell, and they've been with me, 5 years now? And I'll tell every one of you, they can stand up here right now and tell you what we have to go through to operate this ministry. They'll tell you the things that come at us. They'll tell you how they responded when they first come in. For 2 years, they were just... But they begin to settle down now. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that old law in us is so deep. That judgmental spirit is so deep in us. That get-even spirit, that old prideful spirit, that arrogant spirit is so deep in us. I'm going to tell you, it takes years to drag it out. I'm still working on mine. I still have a tendency to once in a while not look at someone in faith, but look at them with my carnal judgmental eyes, my fallen nature eyes, my flesh eyes, instead of looking at them in faith, seeing marvelous manifestation of God's love. I still fall short in my family. I still occasionally will judge my own children, expecting them to be something that they haven't quite got to be yet. expecting them to demonstrate their faith, probably in a way that they haven't quite arrived yet. So don't be condemned by the message, but rejoice.